Morning. Guys, all right? Where to go, Jakey? It's good. So maybe I'll just share again this morning. We had it this morning earlier before you good people arrived. We had a crazy time with the Holy Spirit. And a couple of guys came to know Jesus, which is what we're all about, right? So, it's super encouraging. And like Sarah said, we're starting a new four-week series on encountering Jesus. And I don't think on this planet there's anyone you'd probably be better off encountering than Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about. I was running this morning with our youngest around King's Park, and we're doing a few laps. Well, I did one and a half. He did a few, and when we were just walking back, we passed. There's a massive graveyard. There's in King's Park. I don't know if you guys have seen it. There's thousands of graves, tombstones, and we were just talking about. I said, I wonder out of these thousands of people lying here in this graveyard, how many do you reckon encountered Jesus, you know? And he said to me, probably not that many. I said, well, I don't know, but I can't think of anything more tragic than ending up in that place, not encountered him. Can you? You know, we sing a lot about hope, and we talk a lot about hope. And the kind of word the Lord wanted to share this morning earlier, and I feel it's the same again for you guys, is that hope's an amazing gift from God, and we're called to steward it well. And sometimes I think the mistake of allowing our circumstances to speak louder than his truth. Don't we? And that's why it's so important to remember that he's above circumstance, because he is our hope. And we just need to steward that in faith to the things he's called us to, right? Because, and we're going to talk about a Bible study. I forgot the name of the guy. Who am I talking about? Zacchaeus. I nearly said Zachariah. Zacchaeus this morning. And just how, when he encountered Christ, how everything just totally changed for him. And that's what we're about for the next 4 weeks. And the thing I'm talking about, the title of the message I'm talking about this morning is How God Restores. How Jesus restores. And that's his plan, wherever we are at. We sometimes make the mistake of thinking it's when we come to Christ, he restores. But God's in the restoration business, right? And it's a continual thing for us as his people. Because sometimes we do daft things, right? And sometimes we end up in places we shouldn't end up, right? But God's always encouraging us to rejoin the journey. And like I said earlier on, I don't think anyone, Jake, is going to stand before God on that day, whenever, however long or short it is, because sometimes it can be short. I was just having breakfast with my brother the other day, and another young person we know has just got terminal cancer. Young guy. You just don't know, do you, when your time's up? You just don't know. But you want to know him. You want to have encountered him. And he's constantly encouraging you to rejoin the journey, to fulfill what you put on this earth to fulfill. Because what is more important? And like I said, that day comes when you stood before him, I don't think there's going to be one person in this room who's going to say to themselves, oh, I wasted so much time on this Jesus stuff. If only I'd spent more time making more money. heading into eternity, you ain't going to be thinking about money. You're not going to be thinking about position. You're not going to be thinking about where you stand socially. You're not going to be caring about how many likes you had on your Facebook post. Do we still use Facebook? Is that still a thing? It's all about him, right? It's all about him. Let's hear about Zacchaeus. I'm going to read from Luke 19, verse 1. It's a good story. And a funny story, because I was preaching five or six weeks ago, and unbeknown to me, and I think unbeknown to John, and I ended up getting this message for today. And when I was preaching 5 or 6 weeks ago, I was talking about Jericho and the battle in Jericho and the promised land and the walls coming down and them inheriting the promises of God and walking into it. And here I am a few thousand years on, and here's Jesus now is traveling through Jericho. And let me give you a bit more of a backdrop to it. So Jesus is traveling through Jericho. He's just had an encounter with the rich young ruler you can read about in Luke 18. And then he's come to a blind man who's been blind there in the city begging. And he starts shouting out to Jesus. And the religious guys at the time are like, shh, 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 he's on a mission here. And he carries on regardless, calling out. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He says, I want my sight back. And Jesus restores his sight. Now the crowd's going, wow, this is mad. You know? It's like a guy we've all heard about walking around in today's day and age, and where he's going, he's preaching the good news of the gospel, and signs and wonders are following him. And then he hits Boscombe, and everyone's watching him in Boscombe, and the guy there who's been blind for years, he's healed, and he's got his sight restored. And everyone's texting each other, the guy's heading to Bournemouth now. And here he turns up in Bournemouth, and everyone's like, what's going to happen? And here we find Zacchaeus in a very similar situation in Jericho, and he heard that this guy called Jesus is pitched, and he's operating in signs and wonders, and is this the Messiah? Is this the guy we've been waiting for? And the crowd's going mad, so he runs up and he climbs up a tree, because he's a short guy. Gillian, just can I borrow you a minute? Now, let me just say, I know Gillian well. Zacchaeus was kind of like this, right?
Little and large.
He was a short... I'm doing the jokes, okay.
You're sorry. Yeah, okay.
I love this lady. This is it. I mean, the skeletal remains of these Eastern guys in this time period was average was 5 foot. So he was a small guy in the crowd. So he was... How tall are you?
I was five foot and half an inch.
So you're 5 foot.
Well, I'm poor.
Thank you. So the guy is Gillian's size, right? Which is great. That's how God made him. And he climbs up a tree because he wants to see this guy they're talking about. And this is where we pick it up. So reading from Luke 19, Jesus entered Jericho. Put my glasses on. Jesus entered Jericho, and passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector. Everybody boo. And was wealthy. I mean, he was wealthy. I mean, this guy was like Phil. He was loaded. He wanted to see Jesus. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. That's got to be a mind blower, right? So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. This guy's bad news. So all the religious people, all the big bunch of church-going people are there grumbling. Obviously, this guy Jesus has really not got much discernment to be going to this guy's house. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, after he'd had Culturally, at the time, he would have eaten with him for hours. Zacchaeus says, look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions. Half, Phil. Half my possessions to the poor. Half away. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times. Four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, and this must have been wonderfully refreshing words. He said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save. Say seek and save. Seek and save the lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The same Holy Spirit in you is here, in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you to do the same, to seek out and save the lost. Whether you think you're an evangelist or not, I want to encourage you. I want to commission you in the spiritual realm that all of us have a mandate from heaven who've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior to seek out and point them to Jesus, right? Because that's what he came for. In whichever way, in whatever gift set you have, it's just about putting your hat in the ring, isn't it? Doing your bit for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is there a better thing to do on this planet in this short window of time we have? Is there? You've got thousands. You've created an eternal being for thousands of years. Is there a better pursuit of time? Is there anything better we could invest in than his kingdom coming here in this town? Is there? So here's Zacchaeus. He's up a tree. And here's the crowd. And the crowd say to Jesus and his followers, why is this man of God, this rabbi, this teacher, going to a guy like Zacchaeus' house? He's a tax collector. Now, we don't much like tax collectors. And we don't much like paying taxes, but we do, don't we? Because we're good people of Bournemouth. Phil, do you pay any taxes? Good. But let me just give you a little bit of a backdrop with this guy, right? The Romans, what they used to do, because now they're under the governance of Rome. They're under the Roman Empire. And so what actually happened in the day, historically, is they would put out these tax-collecting booths, or almost like a franchise, to the highest bidder. And those guys would get hold of those booths because they knew they could collect taxes on behalf of the Roman Empire, but they could also tax their own taxes on their own people. So they were despised. They were social outcasts. They were banned from church. No coming to church, the synagogue of the day. Because they were an agent for Rome. And not only were they agent for Rome, not only did they turn, but what they also did was they collected taxes. They added more tax on you for their own personal pocket. So as if the people weren't struggling enough, you tighten the grip. And you live this crazy, lavish lifestyle at the expense of your brothers and sisters in the town. So no one liked this guy. And he was a chief tax collector, which meant he had multiple tax collecting locations in Jericho, which was a thriving town. It was a prosperous town. It was a trade route. This guy was raking it in. And of all the people, of all the crooks in the whole of Jericho, Jesus looks up and sees him and says, I'm coming to your house for dinner. Not the churchgoers, not the religious leaders, certainly not the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but to the worst guy in town. The most unpopular guy in town. I'm coming to your place for dinner. I'm going to spend hours with you. so that you can understand why they're indignant and they're not happy with this. They don't think it's right or fair or spiritual enough or godly enough. And who is this Jesus anyway? Right under their noses. And he comes out, but what happens as an encounter, as he encountered the Messiah, as he encountered Jesus, which most of you in the room have done, there's crazy change. Now, under the law, he had to repay that by a fifth. So if he'd overcharged John £100 in his taxes, or Phil £1,000 in his taxes, he would have had to repay a fifth. So he would have given John his £100 back and another £20. But here Zacchaeus says, from this crazy God encounter, I'm going to give £400 back. And I'm giving half my riches to the poor from one encounter. Some serious perspective changes from one encounter with Jesus, one meal. You can imagine the guys in the town here he comes, he's finished with Jesus, and here he comes to start repaying the money, and he's walking along and he's knocking on the doors of the people that he's overtaxed. Shh, Zacchaeus is at the door. He's come for your money. Tell the kids to shush. Come off the PlayStation. What's he doing? Don't know, he's at the doorstep. Shush. What's he doing now? Don't know, he's put a bag or something there. He's going. Oh, thank God for that. Has he left? Yeah, he's gone. Open the door. Here's a bag of money from Zacchaeus. What the heck? There's a note. I overcharged you. I was corrupt. I met this guy called Jesus. I reckon he's the savior of the world. I was convicted. I've given half my wealth to the poor. And I felt so bad about overcharging you, I've times it by four. Bless you guys. Can you imagine? The text going round, all the lights coming on. Woo, Zacchaeus! If he pays his taxes. What an encounter. And this, lovely people, is what we're called to be, aren't we? Because you know, when I looked at this story, and honestly, I'll be honest with you, when I got this story, and I looked at the story of Zacchaeus, and I thought, how do you preach for 20 minutes, half an hour on this story? But oh my gosh, is there so many hidden treasures in this story? That he knew Zacchaeus out of the multitudes of crowd. He knew his name. Zacchaeus, come. How does he even know this evil guy? He knows the hairs on your head, doesn't he? That's what the word says. He knows the exact amount of hairs on your head. He knows exactly what happened last night. Some of you might be thinking, I wish he didn't. Hey, Gillian? But he did. Gillian was in a prayer meeting, okay? But you know what I've found about Jesus? And I've kind of re-established it in my study of Zacchaeus. Is Jesus was pretty cool with sinners. He was actually nice to them. Do you know who he was quite rough on? Religious leaders. The people who thought they knew better than everybody else, how everyone else should live, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. And I'm pondering on this, and you know what? I came to the conclusion. There's a hurting world out there. Thousands and thousands of people who need to come to know Christ, to be at peace at last. To have hope at last, to have healing at last, to have freedom at last, to have deliverance at last. And the big reason a lot of those guys don't come in these doors is because I think they're more concerned not about meeting God, but about meeting some of us. Because they don't want to be told they're not good enough, not holy enough. They're not doing this right. They drink too much. They smoke too much. They eat too much. They've been told from young, most of them, you're not going to equate to much. You're not good enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not hench enough, big enough, drive a fast enough car. Socially, you're not as cool. They don't want to be told they're not good enough. They want to be invited. Hey, I'm coming to dinner. I want to meet with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to be your mate. And I said to the earlier guys, you know what we should do, people? What I'm convinced we should do? Let's go and find the worst people in the town, the naughtiest of the naughty, and let's ask them round to dinner to meet our kids, shall we? Let's ask those guys. And let's tell them how good Jesus has been to us and how he wants to encounter you and turn your life, your circumstances around. Because no one can turn circumstances around like God can. No one. You can't turn around things supernaturally. In the blink of an eye, God can. We want to facilitate those guys encountering Jesus, don't we? And there's another thing to this as well, I was thinking, that we need to be encountering Jesus on the daily. Because he wants to encounter you daily. He wants to speak to you daily. He wants to encounter you daily. It's not just for the guy sat at the front row looking all smooth. He wants to encounter you daily. You, Tobias. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to speak into your situation. He wants to give you a strategy. He wants to give you the turnaround keys. And this is what I love about Jesus and what I see about him is look at the lady who is caught in adultery. He's just so gracious to sinners. She's caught in the act of adultery. There's not a debate, was she doing it, wasn't she doing it? She's caught in it. And they're all about to stone her to death under the law. He says, whoa. Starts writing in the sand. Now, I don't know what he wrote. There's lots of theological opinions on it. We don't know what he wrote. But I know what happened was the oldest to the youngest guy starts walking away. So Jesus says to her, where's your accusers? Where's all the religious guys gone? There they've gone. He goes, well, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. But I don't condemn you. The gratitude, even when he's hanging on a cross, beaten to a pulp. The word tells us that Jesus was beaten so badly you couldn't recognize him. Beaten to within an inch of his life, and after that torturous, barbaric episode, they then drive nails through his feet and hands, stick him on a cross, and mock him. And even at that position, could you imagine the pain the guy is in? And the guy on the other cross is mocking him. And the guy on the other cross says, oh, to the other guy, leave it out, mate. He is who he says he is. What is in that state, Jesus again extends grace to a guy who deserved to be there. They're not saying they don't deserve to be there. They deserve to be there under the law. And Jesus says to him, because he acknowledged Jesus is who he said he was, he extends grace. He says, tonight, this feels a bit rough up here, but tonight we walk into paradise together. Can you imagine a better sentence you could hear in your entire life than this evening, we're walking into paradise together with Jesus? And even the young tax collector that we read about, in, if you back it up to Luke 18, that guy said to Jesus, another guy, a religious guy, he says, what do I need to do? He says, you know, don't murder, don't commit adultery, and he lists off the things. Honor your mom and dad. He says, I've done it all under the law. I've done it. He says, great, sell your possessions. Come follow me. And he was distressed and upset and went off because he couldn't do it. And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. It's easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, we know the eye of the needle was a gateway, and it was about unburdening so they could get through, and a wealthy guy had lots of possessions, and on they went. But do you see the difference with trying to live a life under the law? And here we have Zacchaeus, who encountered the grace of God. And without being instructed or under the law, he decides, having had this crazy encounter with this bringer of grace, Jesus, what happens? His whole life turns around. It wasn't a works thing, it was a grace thing. I give half my wealth away. I'm going to times it by four, because he'd encountered Jesus. He'd encountered grace. That's what we're called to do. And he wants to do that. And if you don't know Jesus, and if you haven't met Jesus, and if you have not accepted this amazing gift of grace, which is basically we get what we don't deserve, and it's freely given to you by trusting in him, then I'd encourage you to seriously consider it. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, like the couple of guys did this morning, because I think they probably realized, you know, doing life on my own without a Savior is pretty tough going. Huh? Then I would encourage you people, good people of Bournemouth, let's make facility for people to encounter the personal Savior that you have. John's been talking about making space for more and the new things we're planning for the future. And we want those guys. We want those criminals. We want those people that nobody wants to be friends with or embarrassed to be friends with or socially outcast. We want those guys. Because Jesus did it for us, right? Because we were terrible people before we met Jesus, weren't we? Terrible. We did all kinds of things. It's all about... The thing with the religious thinking is you always want to be worried about everyone else's behavior and sin. And they even came to Jesus, didn't they? And they said, what about it? What about this? And what about that? And Jesus says to him, deal with the plank in your eye. Don't worry about the other guys. Don't worry about their sin. What about your issues? What about the stuff in your eye? Let's not be those guys judging these guys. Because we were one of those guys. Let's be Jesus to these people. Let's do that. It's not hard. I'm going to come to I'll cook you dinner. I just want to tell you about what Jesus did for me. Jesus wants to encounter these people because it says here in the end of Luke, verse 10, he says, for the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. You just don't know who you're facilitating. You don't know who you're opening your home up to. You just don't know who you're sharing your testimony with, who the next guy is. You don't know. But the Holy Spirit in you wants them to know. A guy you know well, some of you know well, as a young guy, grew up in a super violent home. He was beaten. His parents would throw him against the wall. And eventually the dad left. And then the mom became a big drinker. And she'd beat the guy. In fact, she wouldn't stop until she could see his arms bleeding. So that guy grew up violent, really violent. And that guy actually became quite good at violence. In fact, at times he was paid to be violent. And so the drugs came, and the girls came, and the parties came, and the violence increased. And then he started planning with a bunch of really untoward people a bit of a big robbery. And at that point, he was offered an opportunity to go to South Africa, get away from it. So he took it. And after a year there, he was missing that lifestyle. So the idiot, me,
decided I'm going to head home. I'm going to rejoin that world. But two little old ladies in Boscombe made me a cup of tea. And they said, "We're going to pray for you, dear. And you're going to encounter the Holy Spirit." And I went to say to them goodbye. And they laid hands on me. And the Holy Spirit knocked me nearly off my feet. In fact, so much so I asked to see the hands because I thought they had those electrical buzzers on them or something. And there are two ladies like Gillian opening their hands like, "There's nothing in her hands, dear." And I encountered the Holy Spirit. And I spent the next nearly 25 years, to the best of my ability, preaching and teaching God's grace. Because I want everyone to know about it.